Vayera Elav Hashem Be'eloni Mamre V'hu Yoshev Pesach Ohel K'chom Hayom. The beginning of Parshas Vayera describes the first moment of Gilui Shechina, the first moment in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't just speak with man or guarantee him his future, come to him in a dream or an apparition, but the very audacious notion that a human being with all of his flaws and all of his limitations as a human can stand in the presence of Melech Malchei Hamlachim, the Gilui Shechina. This is the first moment that Hashem comes to Avraham Avinu, because it's the first moment that Avraham has a bris mila. He's tamim. Salech lefanai v'yei tamim. Al pi halacha, there are three mitzvahs which a person without bris mila cannot perform. One is the mitzvah of achilas korban pesach. Two is the mitzvah of achilas truma. Three is the mitzvah of coming into Beis HaMikdash, of standing in the presence of Shechina, and Arel can perform all the other mitzvahs. So until Avram has a bris mila and is complete, he cannot receive the Shechina. He has to be sleeping, he has to hear it at a distance, but now Hashem comes to Avram Avinu. And along with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, come three malachim, to perform certain tasks. Avram has an opportunity to display his historic Gemilas Chasadim. It's historic because it's so impressive. It's historic because Chazal tell us that for every act of chesed which Avram performed, Am Yisrael was rewarded in the future with Ma and then with Mayim. And in the true sense of Ma'ase Avos Simen Labanim, Avram wasn't just foreshadowing, predicting Am Yisrael's future. He was creating it. Very important concept in Sefer Bereishis, that people can create their future. That the effects and the actions you take have ripple effects, ripple impact. You can change your world and you can take decisions that will make a difference for thousands and thousands of generations. And of course, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov did that at a metaphysical level, but we can do that at a practical level. And there's some interesting psukim describing Avraham's embrace of these three guests. Vayisayna vayar, v'inei shloshana shenitzavim alav. He sees three people. Vayar, he sees them again. Vayaretz likrasam, he pesach, and he runs. Vayishtach ratz, then he bows down. Vayomar, and he says, Al natavar me'alavdecha, yukach na'amat mayim, he offers them water, cleansing their feet, resting under a tree. V'echa paslechem, he runs and gets some bread, v'sadu lipchem, to feed them. Vayimaher Avram Oela, so he runs into the tent, also Rava Yomer, quickly Maharish Loshim Kemachsolas Lishi Vasugos. Next Pasuk, Vielha Bakar, Ratz Avraham, he runs to get some meat. Vayikach ben Makar Rachvatov, he chooses choice meat. Vayitain al Hanar, Vayimaher Lasososo, he runs. Vayikach Chemavichalav. The description of Avraham performing this mitzvah of Gemilas Chasadim is striking. There are three words describing the speed, the rapidity of this 100-year-old host still suffering the after effects of surgery without anesthesia. Three times the Torah reminds us, Vayimaher Avram Ha'ohela, Vayomer Mahari, Shlosh Se'im Kemach Soles, V'yel HaBakar, Ratz Avraham, actually a fourth time, Vayimaher Lasel Soso, four times Avraham runs. This parsha speaks to a very important trait of Avraham Avinu, the trait of Zrizus, energy, alacrity, running, doing things quickly, energetically, efficiently, not procrastinating, not being lazy, not delaying. Not just by the repetition four times of words that describe this 100-year-old man running. These psukim contain a disproportionate number of verbs. Typically, psukim have some verbs, have a few nouns, qualifiers, typical grammatical elements in proportion. These psukim, almost every pasuk, has three or four verbs. Think to yourself for a moment. Try to construct a pasuk construct a sentence with four verbs. It's not that easy. This is a scene of tremendous energy, tremendous burst, tremendous force of character. The Medrash says, Avraham was so famous Sarah was so famous, Hashem had promised them, V'yaschal l'goy gadol, I will turn you into world-class, world-renowned personalities. Their reputation began to spread, and there were coins actually minted in honor of Avraham and Sarah. Do you know the images that they imprinted on these coins to signify or typify Avraham and Sarah? The Medrash says in Parshas Lech Lecha, Mahu Monitin Shelo, what was Avraham and Sarai's coat of arms, as it were? Zakein Uskena Mikan, Bachor Upsula Mikan. On one side of the coin, there was an imprint, a likeness, an image of an old man and an old woman. Whereas on the other side of the coin, there was an imprint of a young man, a young boy. For even though they were advanced in age, they had renewed, replenished sources of energy, their idealism, their commitment to something larger than themselves, created incredible reservoirs of energy which they were able to tap despite their physically advanced age, despite their biologically aged bodies. Their force of character was so strong that it expressed itself in energetic activity, in rapidity of movement, in running, in absolute lack of laziness. Parsha describes how HaKadosh Baruch Hu restored and rejuvenated. But without their initial commitment to this energy level, Hashem's replenishing would never have occurred. Avraham models a very important trait in life in general and in Avodas Hashem in particular. The trait of Zrizus. There are many ways that Zrizus can be displayed. Do you procrastinate? Not just with mitzvahs, but with opportunities, with responsibilities, with homework, with when you start something, do you finish it? Do you show energy when you perform it? Or you perform things in lackluster fashion? Do you walk slowly, or do you walk with a quick gait? Again, you have to run, but you have things to accomplish. You're driven by your ideals. You realize that time is not an endless commodity, and you want to use it as wisely as possible and gain with time. Use your time to accomplish as much as possible. So there's a quickness. You're constantly on the move. Again, not in a rude or insensitive way, but just in a driven way. Many are probably listening to this shiur as the World Series is about to occur. In the United States, the World Series, the baseball, is known as the national pastime. Jews don't pass time. We use time. We're not looking for ways to pass our time. Chas v'shalom. It's a waste of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's most valuable resource that He gives us. We're looking for ways to use time productively. The Shulchan Aruch begins by roughly quoting the famous Mishnah in Avos. The Mishnah in Avos begins by describing how a person should arise in the morning. It's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Perikei, Az Kanamer, Kal Kanesher, Ratz Katzvi, Gibor Kari, Lasos Ritzon Avicha Shebashamayim, the strength of a lion, the quickness of a gazelle. Shulchan Aruch begins the first sif in the first siman of Shulchan Aruch, siman Aleph, sif Aleph. Yisgaber ka'ari, you should strengthen yourself like a lion. La'amod baboker, to rise early in the morning. La'avodas boro, how you get up in the morning indicates the energy level you will bring to the rest of your day. The Mesilas Yesharim dedicated his second discussion. He discusses different traits that it takes to create a religious and virtuous character to the trait of Zrizus. Avraham models the trait of Zrizim Makdimim LeMitzvos. He gets up early to Daven. He gets up early for the Akedah. And here, it's not a question of how early he rises, but the energy level that he uses to perform. There is absolutely no laziness and passivity or timidity. Mesilas Yesharim, when he describes Zrizus, describes a natural weight, W-E-I-G-H-T. Human beings are weighty. We are anchored. Movement is not natural to us. Whenever we want to accomplish something, we have to move, whether it's physical motion or mental activity. Human beings by nature are entropic. Their minds would rather be tranquil. Their bodies would rather be at rest. So in every action, in every initiative, certainly in mitzvahs and appropriate initiatives, there's a need for energy, for genius, to break the burden of our own passivity. And in the breaking of that burden, there's great heroism. Training yourself to work hard, to do things quickly, to do things with energy, to perform mitzvahs with joy as quickly as possible. Mitzvah ba'aliyatcha al tachmitzena. But not just mitzvahs. Generally, anything in life that's important, procrastination will generally delay the mitzvah even further. We'll convince ourselves or delude ourselves into believing that we're procrastinating for good reason. We're waiting for good purpose because the conditions will be more suitable in the future. But typically, procrastination is based on dread, is psychological, because we'd rather not face the adversity or the challenge, the prospect of defeat or a failure. So we push it off into the future, hoping to avoid confrontation. And typically, the same terms that cause us to feel that dread and that resistance in the current present will exist in the future as well. And if anything, procrastination will just make it harder to accomplish something. Because not only will the same conditions that challenge us exist, but we will have psychologically created an additional barrier, creating additional dread and hesitance to perform things. So it's not just mitzvah. So Yizim Makdimim L'Mitzvah is the Zeh Hashem, your joy, your interest, your thrill that it's not a burden to perform a mitzvah, but an opportunity to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be Mevatel Ritzoncho Mibnei Ritzono. But things in general duties, responsibilities, especially important in high school, where you have a lot of work, and sometimes you can get by with procrastination and delay. Sometimes you're smart enough. The workload isn't that hard. You can wait for the last minute and cram. It's not a healthy trait to condition yourself toward. Again, you don't want to be obsessive. Some obsessive people, it's the opposite end of the spectrum. Every trait in personal character is dangerous at the extremes. Just like it's dangerous to be an extreme procrastinator, it's just as dangerous to be someone that can't schedule and have patience and has to have everything in order immediately. That's called obsessiveness or obsessive-compulsive disorder. But in general, to be able to face challenges, responsibilities, and duties as quickly as possible is all part of the trait of Zrizus. And then there's a second subsidiary aspect of Zrizus. Three times in Parshas Vayera, Avraham wakes up in the morning. Vayashkim Avraham Baboker. Vayashkim Avraham Baboker. Vayashkim Avraham Baboker. Once to daven after the destruction of Sodom. Once to escort Yishmael and Hagar, because it's clear that they have been deselected, they have been discarded. Yitzchak is the selected, chosen seed. Hagar and Yishmael have to be sent away. But Avraham wants to make sure that he sends them away in a humane and compassionate fashion. And then, of course, his final mission of glory in the end of the parsha, he arises early to ascend to that mountain, Har HaMoriah, the Makom HaMikdash, and literally to create Jewish history, Akedas Yitzchak. Avraham, as well as others in Parshas or in Sefer Bereishis, Yaakov, Moshe and Shmos, Shmuel, the brothers, when they leave Mitzrayim, they're getting up early in the morning. Vayashkim Avraham Baboker. Getting up early in the morning is important, not just because you set a tone, as I mentioned before in the Shulchan Aruch, for the rest of your day. Getting up early in the morning, breaking that psychological barrier, can't get up early, is important because it develops within a person proper time attitude. What I mean by time attitude is as follows. Obviously, there are moments in our life when we're more rested, moments in our life when we're less rested. moments in our life when we could use more sleep, moments in our life when we've slept enough. If a person is going to be constantly plagued by fatigue, unable to operate, to succeed, to perform, constantly complaining and feeling the heavy weight of fatigue, of tiredness. Again, you have to sleep a healthy amount just to make sure you're rested. But there are times you're called upon to get up early. Getting up early with the rest of the world, with the rest of the community, rather than sleeping late, is a sign of human virtue, belonging. Sometimes people have a hard time getting up in the morning because they dare not face the challenges which await them. They have to wait for the last possible moment. There's courage and bravery in breaking that barrier and forcing yourself, training yourself. Not every day. Some days you sleep later. But some people simply don't have the capacity to get up early, don't train themselves. And when they are forced beyond their will to get up early, it ruins their day. They're held hostage to that early wake-up. It's a very, very important trait to try as best as you can, especially at this age, to see how well you can wake up in the morning. Again, one question is to make sure you wake up at a healthy time, not too late. Second of all, the manner of waking up. Third of all, the times that you won't have enough sleep, that you'll be tired, to summon a deeper reservoir of energy, energy that isn't built on physical self, but an energy that's built on mind over matter, on an insurmountable willpower, wellsprings of vision that you are accomplishing things and that life is too short and time too precious to sleep it off, to be lazy, or not to be able to operate under the influence of fatigue and tiredness. Again, as I mentioned earlier, everything in excess is dangerous. But getting up early, in yeshiva, we daven at 7 in the morning. And boys typically have a very difficult time getting up for davening. And very often they'll come to me and they'll say, well, why should I daven in the yeshiva minyan? There are plenty of minyanim in the local shul. I can learn extra at night. I can learn until 2 in the morning if I daven at 7:30 or... And part of my response to them is, if for nothing else, even if the yeshiva minyan weren't better, let's say the local minyan were just as good in terms of the quality of davening, getting up an entire year in yeshiva at 6:45, I know that many Americans have a hard time with the number 6. If the clock says 6, then it spooks them. They're spooked by the number 6. In Eretz Yisrael, typically, people get up a lot earlier. 6 o'clock is not an unusual wake-up time. To get up for yeshiva davening at 7, you have to wake up at 6:45. If for nothing else, coming an entire year to yeshiva davening at 7, waking up at 6:45, 6:50, and training yourself to break that psychological barrier that you can and should and must sometimes get up at different times during the clock cycle, and you can't be spooked or tyrannized or terrified by that, even independent of whatever gains you'll make by being in yeshiva davening, just breaking that psychological barrier of getting up at different times is worth coming to yeshiva minyan. Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Yom Kippur, we say slichos at strange times, in part to create that sense that we're facing unique, extenuating circumstances, we're facing the Yom Hadin, and we can't keep our normal routine and just trot along in life as if nothing is changing or nothing pending and dramatic is about to happen. So Parshas Vayera highlights not only Avraham's alacrity and energy and rapidity and zrizos, but his willingness to get up early in the morning for a great and glorious task. Getting up early both generates as well as symbolizes a person of mission and a person who controls time and controls his body, who isn't controlled by it. Shabbat Shalom.